I want to talk about sonship. And I want to break a few things down tonight. I don't have my computer here. I've got a few scribblings of notes. But I really want to go out of my heart and share one or two things with you. It's amazing the walls that we build in our minds as people. We do something a certain way. We do it that way again. We see another person doing it that way. And suddenly, this is normal. Because it's manifested itself this way in my life. You know what the problem with that is? If you don't cultivate a teachable heart, you can never grow. Because life will always stay the way you know it. But if you are a resourceful person in your heart, you really want to grow, and you pick up things that's different than you used to, then you open your heart and you ask God, why? And you grow. But most people in this world, and especially South Africans, we're very good with it. When we see something that's different than us, we close up very quickly. Have you noticed that? Often of ekom, doen ons nie so nie. Ek kom maar van die kerk af. Ons altyd, and we're so used to building walls that really blocks us. Amen. You know, you get the same thing. I always have to use a rugby example. Please forgive me and accept it like that for the rest of my life. But you get these players and they get 21, 22 and they end up on a big scene where there's a lot of great players. Now in their high school, they were the star. They had scored all the tries. Everyone knew their name. When they caught the ball, all the girls shouted, nah. And now they get on a big scene and it's different. Then there's something that split two groups of people. The one would go on, progress to become real professional players, and the rest will hang around, get a tattoo, gel their hair, and they will fall back into their old life. Because no one can teach them anything about rugby. They know it. They know it. And that's where their career ends. And then you get people that's just open. You can teach them, and they get older, and you can still teach them. And they want to have conversations about the game. They want to figure stuff out, and then they want to bring it into their game. And the same is true for you as a believer. Your growth as a believer has stopped if you decided somewhere in your subconscious that what you know about life, that's what life will be for you. It stopped. It's done. You're going to hang around for another 6 months or a year and you will be out of here. And you will say, I can't grow. Because of the pastor or whatever. But it's a hard thing. Now, check this out. I'm talking about sonship from orphan to son. And I'll tell you why. There's a big difference to being a son of God and not being one. And I'm going to just show it to you out of scripture. I think I've put it on the notes. Romans 8, from which verse? 15. Okay, great. Now, I'll start at verse 14 in my Bible, and then you can just catch on from 15. Let me just pray before I carry on. Father, I want to just acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, I want to acknowledge you. Jesus, our Savior. You are the name we carry. Tonight, make us as sons. Work with our hearts, that it is soft, that it is bendable, foldable by your hands. Open our ears. Some of us have heard over and over, but our ears have become deaf. Open it up tonight, that we may hear like we're hearing for the first time. Make us as fertile soil that can accept, Lord, and grow and flourish. We look to you to do miracles tonight. Amen? Awesome. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's verse 14. It's not on there. I want you to listen to the connection. The Spirit of God, sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not, there's a negative, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back to fear, But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. There's that thing again, all right? And if children, then heirs, not heirs, okay? Nie hare nie, erfgename. All right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. It's a mouthful. Just want to bounce a few thoughts there. And I did it with my small group. For me, they're also always a test run for church. But I want you to think for a moment. Unfortunately, where we live in this world, we can't bank that every child has got two parents, right? We cannot even just accept that every child has a healthy environment to grow up in, right? Breaks our hearts, isn't that true? Ask the teachers. But if for a moment you can puzzle a perfect family, maybe you grew up, there's no such thing as a perfect family, but let's say you grew up in a healthy family. If not, maybe you had an uncle you had a lot of exposure to or friends. Can you just for a moment just have that healthy family in your mind? And then picture yourself or someone else growing up in that family. How does that son or daughter behave in that family? They're free, right? They're free to open the fridge. All right? And dan vat jy die melkbottel. En dan kom jou ma mee draai en papi. Dit is moeilikheid. So jy sit so agter die yskas deur, soos ek altyd. Okay. But here's the thing about kids, we're not scared in our own homes, right? We make many mistakes, we use our father's tools, and we start to burst, like, the first thing you do is you take the drill, and then you look for the closest wall. You do weird things. You're a son, it's my dad's tools, so it's mine. And you word gedisciplined ook in your eyes, amen? But here's the thing about kids that can express themselves in their healthy family is they tend up to become leaders or to fulfill their potential when they leave the house. You see, they've been allowed to be themselves. With mistakes, met die pak sla op sy tyd, al daai goed. But because they've learned, you know my son, okay, in my home, he's very free, all right? Not only does he run around naked, all right, he gets on the table and he dances and he sings. But when he gets into someone else's house, he hides behind my arm. Have you noticed that about kids? They know where their home is. But now a kid that grows up and can express themselves tend to carry that self-confidence into the world. They make many mistakes, but they do well. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How are you doing in God's house? Are you free? Have you noticed it's your home? You're not a slave here. You don't have to come in and hide behind someone's shoulder. This is the place where you run around naked. Okay? Not really. Please. I don't want trouble. I'm using an analogy for my little boy. You get what I'm saying, right? We were made to be free as sons and daughters. You know another thing that happens when you are allowed to be yourself? Once again, not even a perfect family, just a healthy family. You develop an identity that it's okay to be yourself. And so you become secure in who you are. Your parents love you. Yeah, beclaim it your sissy, but you know she loves you. And you go on to university and you have a solidness to you. Because your family has confirmed who you are. If you don't know who you are, many bad things happen the day you walk out of that home. Trying to figure out who you are in 1 month. Because for the 18 years at home, you haven't had the chance to discover. Now the Spirit of God leads us to be that kind of son and daughter that express themselves. And many bad things happen to us if we don't grow into a place of sonship. It is something we must press into. Are you with me tonight? Just throwing a few ideas out there. Now, let me just read a portion of scripture that you've heard many times. We're going to read this and then gaan ons hierdie uit mekaar uittrek. All right? And I know that God's going to do stuff here tonight. I want to go to Luke 15, verse 11. And Christ is telling a story. I call it the parable of the good father. And he said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Now let me just explain something to you. When do you get your inheritance? When? Your father dies. This young boy goes to his dad and says, I can't wait until you die. Can you give me so long what is mine? This is what this man is saying. And the father, he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us celebrate. For the son was dead and is alive and he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Hold on, don't lose me yet, okay? We're almost done. Now the oldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. I often hear that in my street where I live. As I come near to my home, I hear music and dancing. And it comes out of cars. It's like everything vibrates. It's biblical. It's biblical. Any case. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to them, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, this is the father speaking, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Okay? Story of the prodigal son, the story of the good dad, or the story of the two sons, depends on how you want to see it. Now, Steph, if you want to, I'm going to refer to a verse now and then. If you maybe can track it and bounce up and down, that will be great. Can I just ask you guys just think back on the story? And here's my question. Did the father have an encounter in this story with God? Was there a moment in the story where the father came to himself and turned around? No. It's a story on sonship. And so the idea we get from the father is that he's the same in the beginning and the end. This man receives back his son who squandered everything. He runs to him, which is an undignified thing to do in Jewish culture. He had the rock gedra. So he's pulling this rock. I don't know what was showing, and he's running. All right? And then he kisses. He falls on the neck of his son. Does this sound like a good dad? It's a great dad. This is the same man this young man walked away from in the beginning. But when the young man came home, he came back to a different father in his own eyes. Are you with me? This young man experienced his father like this, but when he came back, experienced him like this. So his father did not change. Are you with me? Verse 17, if we can just quickly get there. It says, but when he came to himself, can you see what happened in the young man's life? Something shifted in his heart. He came to himself and his eyes opened. My father treats his hired servants so well. Even I, his son, yeah, and wherever I find myself, I'm feeding pigs. My dad is a great man. If I go back now and if he will take me back, I will even be a servant. What changed? This young man. He changed. He had an encounter with God. The son comes to his senses. Now let me tell you the story of my life. Of a story of my life. You can ask my wife, I'm not kidding. My dad and I, if I can just use a father-son example, had a very, very strained relationship. We could not sit around the fire because it would be too awkward. If my mom was there, it was okay. Because she would like, you know, talk and talk and talk and then everything would be okay. But the moment she would leave, the air would be thick. You know, my dad is an amazing person. I never realized it. Some of my friends know that I can't use a screwdriver. Sorry, I'm confessing. That's how bad I am. My dad builds little airplanes. He's got a 1941 Harley Davidson that he built from nothing. That's what he does. And when I was a young boy and he was busy wanting to pull me into his world, I would have nothing to do with it. I would want to go and play with my friends, cricket over the road. And every time he was impressed to show me something, I would walk and play, and I know now how it broke his heart. And so our relationship grew apart. I'm not saying that sons and fathers must have the same interests, but I never. Some of my friends would come, I would invite them to play, and they would stay the whole day with my dad in the garage. Just handing tools, asking questions. I'm like, boring. And so we grew apart. Very strained relationship. And then I did Legacy Foundation 3. Who did it this year? And I learned my part. I'm a son. And God showed me, I want you to change your heart. Don't worry about your father. You come to yourself. And I did. Came to myself. Vessels not up. I want to show you. And it's not dark. So I went home after Foundation 3. I cried a lot. And so my dad was not used to it, but when I came home, I hugged him, okay? But he was standing like this. And so I hugged him and I didn't let go. I'm like, oh, hello, Pa. And something broke in our relationship. And then the next time, you know, when I went back, his hand went from there to there. And then after a few months, we were hugging one another. You can have a seat. Vessel gives the best hugs. I always say it. It's true. You must try it. Come for one. I mean, it's free. At the back, you can get a coffee, a snack, and a hug from Vessel. Call it the shofar combination. Anyways. And we started to have a thriving relationship. My dad did not change. I did. And it started something. Here's the thing that you need to understand, guys. It's one of my favorite things to talk through. If you want to have a father, you must become a son. I'm talking on different levels. Do you want God to be your father? You must become a son. Do you want to be surrounded with people that plays a fathering role in your life? Can we just go to that last scripture? Just check this out for a moment. This is what scripture says. We know God is the good father, right? You all know that. But check this out. For though you have countless guides in Christ, this is Paul writing, you do not have many fathers. So I became your father in Christ. So God's desire is also that there's fathers here. Are you with me? He's a father, but he wants us to be among fathers. Do you want a spiritual father? You must become a son. You must position your heart. Let me tell you something. If you are not a son, every father will let you down. You will see a mistake in every father figure there is. The pastor, the worship leader, the person that does a sound, your small group leader, you will just see mistakes because you see the specs you are looking through, the dirty. You are unfatherable, like this young man. And so he went. When he came to himself, he got the same father at the same place. Everything changed. Junaid's brother gave his heart to the Lord a few years back. Yaku, actually 5-6 years back. Came to our church in Cape Town and said, nah, like a family. Amalas Oras Ek. 2 weeks later, came back. Best church in the world. Love it. Did the church change? No. He changed. You want to experience God as a father, become a son. You will be amazed at the places you find fathering. Let me share something out of my life. God is perfect. Can we agree on that? He's a perfect father, right? My father is not perfect. As a father figure here, I'm not perfect. But God allows us to experience His perfect fathering through imperfect people if we are willing to have grace for their mistakes as well. But He fathers us in weird places. So the other day, my son, he takes my face like this. Papa. And he just looks at me. And in that moment, I got fathered by a 2-year-old. Because as he was accepting me, the father's acceptance came. And it's like I felt the father's hands taking me and saying, I like you. Your small group leader can be younger than you. If you shift your heart, he will father you. There's many fathers here. We must move our hearts. Amen. This is amazing to understand. If you're not a son, every father will let you down. That's the younger boy, all right? Now, what I want you to see is that God wants to shift us from being slaves to being sons, all right? Now, a slave, the thing about a slave is, in that time, because Paul says, even as a slave, serve your masters. Those were not the slaves you often see on movies that gets beaten and hurt. Some of them as well. But these were people that were sold to a household for a debt. So they were working off a debt. Don't honest of beers. Many of the slaves, they was working off a bursary. So they had to work for one man until it was fully paid. And often being a slave, you'd look at your master and you would wish he would give you off. You would wish he'd pay you more. All right? And so you might look through a critical lens. I'm working away here. This guy doesn't care for me. But a son is different. I want to talk quickly about that on the older brother. The older brother is a different guy, I'm telling you. In Romans 8, where we started, we see the orphan spirit and we see the spirit of sonship. Okay, are you with me? So the orphan spirit is not a spirit from God. And what it does is it creates distance, always. An orphan spirit creates distance between you and people. A spirit of sonship always brings you near. Think about it, okay? If you should walk away from your parents physically, there's a distance, you become an orphan, and the other way around. And so what scripture is saying is God did not give us a spirit of slavery or a spirit of being an orphan, but that of a son. Now check this out. The oldest son speaks to his dad, verse 29. He says, look, these many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. Next verse, please. But when this son of yours, not even my brother, came, who devoured your property, you killed the calf for him. And the father said, son, you have always been with me. Check it out. The oldest son, although he was living with his father, relationally, he was miles away. He was removed. He was an orphan at heart. And so he was looking at his work on the farm as transactions, like a slave. I would work here and you should give me stuff. I'm going to serve you on this farm, but you better give me stuff for me and my friends. He was thinking transactions. Check what the father says. He says, but you've always been with me. You see, the father always thinks of relationships. That is the reward. That's the payment. You have me, I have you. We're in relationship. And the same with a son. Ek braai met my pa, daar's niks soos dit nie. The slave, what is he going to pay me? What am I going to get out of this? This young one goes, he gets that. What about me? The father says, I'm thinking of relationships. Are we on the same planet? You see, the father, he's on the tractor this side. Imagine tractors back then. It's up a BS. And his son is that side. And the father is thinking, look at my son. Man, he's hardworking. He's going to grow up to be so great. And when the father thinks of him, his heart gets warm. The son on the other side thinks of his father and thinks, I wish he'd pay me more. I wish he'd just give me this farm and leave. Because he's an orphan at heart. Doesn't understand relationship, only stuff. Now, in South Africa, especially under our culture, would you say we are more like the young son who's lawless and run away, or more like the older son who stays? Would you guys say, who says we're more like the younger son? Hands up. Who says we're more like the older son? Okay. So obviously, I mean, it depends on where you come from and how you see things. I do think we have a big contingent of the older son, and we have the younger son, especially these days with the young people emerging. But here's the thing. If you are, let me just give a word to the older sons in this place, okay? Let me explain it this way. You can be right here in church, in small group. You can do foundations, you can do Bible school, you can be in the band, and you can still have either an orphan heart or a heart of sonship. What you do have got nothing to do with this. Here's the thing, and it's very, very difficult. The Holy Spirit has to show you this because this is deep. Is there something in you waiting for the transaction to come back? It's the older son. I'm going to serve in this church because one day someone's going to say, well done. I'm going to serve in this church because if I do it for long enough, someone's going to end up in my driveway and give me a Ranger. 4x4. I'm joking about it, but there's something there. And so people come and they get into church just like the oldest son. They're doing all these things. I've worked with you all this time and you've never, boom, gone. They've never moved from being a slave to a son. And so if you feel it, you know, I'm on this side, okay? This is my temptation. I'm honest about it. I don't push it away. I say, Lord, just help me. Give me a heart of a son. Give me a heart of a son. And you should do the same. I just want to encourage you from the scripture. If you would put yourself there, the oldest son, I want to tell you this, especially in this church. Let's use the example here. You are here. You're slaving away here. You working every day there at the back or that side. Here's a word for you. Everything here is yours. Everything. Everything in God's kingdom is yours, but God's kingdom for you means this house. It's yours, not mine. If you're carrying something at the back, this band is yours. It's your band. It's your house. Every small group, even the one you're not in, it's yours. It's been given to you. Your son, your partaker, your inheritance. When this congregation or every life touched here move and march into heaven one day, that's yours. You're a part of that. You're not getting anything else because you're getting everything already. It's yours. Isn't that amazing? So what's the difference between the orphan heart and the son heart? Here's the thing. The orphan heart's waiting for his breakthrough. The son can't wait for more people to experience what he is experiencing because he understands family. And so when they slave away and one new person comes in and meets God, they're like, it's my reward. Now they will experience what I experience. That is the heart of a son. And the young son, the young one, realized it when he was away and he went out of the experience of the good father. He said, man, I've got a great dad. And when he came back, he knew what I was talking about right now. Everything here is yours. Amen. So why do you take part here? Because it's your place. It's your people. Some of you, at a certain stage of your life, this will be the only family you have. There's single people around the world that maybe never get to marry. The church is the only family they have. And the Bible says it's enough. It's enough. If you can't get a bride, become a part of the bride. It's your family. Amen? Sons understand family. Now, let's just bring it down. God is a perfect father. And because he is perfect, now, you need to catch this. This is very important. For some of you guys that's new around here, this is going to be deep to understand, but I know it can just go into your spirit. The moment you have grace for a father figure, a small group leader, a pastor, a worship, the moment you develop grace to learn, that's the moment you've become a son, right? And you don't mind them if they're not perfect because you experienced the perfect father through them, right? But if you cannot be fathered by someone because you are critical, you will never be a father. Because you will be critical as a father and the sons will run away. And so if you've got a heart to minister one day, if you've got a heart to do slightly something that I'm doing now or be a small group leader, here's the thing. Become a son quickly. And accept someone around you that built into your life with their mistakes, because one day people will have to accept you with your mistakes. No one sits under a critical father. And I'll tell you why. Because father's sons are in a lot of mess. They've got arrogance. They flock in character. And what is your job? To father them through it. So if you are critical, you're not going to help them. So where do you deal with your critical spirit when you are a son? You say, Lord, I'm going to enjoy this small group leader. I'm going to serve him and pray for him. I'm going to make sure that he's covered in prayer. I don't care what his mistakes is. You are perfect. And one day I'm going to be in that position and someone will be praying for me. Amen? Fathering's got nothing to do with age. You get very immature older people. You get very mature younger people. But you may have the greatest father and you can be a terrible son or the other way around. Christ is a father figure, right? Never had an earthly son. He's a son, never had an earthly father. That understands the heart, family. Amazing. Become a son. Let go of the hiccups in your life. die kritiese gees, the critical spirit. Everywhere you go, you find a problem. You know what? All these small groups, you know, not one of them is good enough. You are the problem. You see, it goes wherever you go. You have to fail brill up. Are you with me? I'm being very direct. You following me? Oh, you know what? It's my 10th girlfriend in this town. All the women in this town. Must be something wrong with him. Nah. I'll argue differently. The only steadfast one in all those relationships is you. Come a son, I'm joking with it, but you get what I'm saying, right? What if I am a 50-year-old pastor one day and the leadership decides this 35-year-old, he's going to lead the church and I should be under him. I should be able to take my heart and put it under. Amen? I've told it before. Sometimes I come to church and I see the guys on the stage practicing. They're all younger than me, but when I see them bringing their gift, it fathers me. Something comes to me from them. And I see them laying their life down and I see Christ laying his down. I'm seeing the people we're doing communion, then I see some people running at the back getting all the stuff because I've just said we're going to hand it out, and I see them serving and it fathers me. And I remember the Son, what he did for me. It's got nothing to do with age, but everything to do with your heart. We don't need older people in this church. I wish we can get more. 1,000. But until we do, we don't need what we need as sons. Amen? Submitting to one another in love. Learning, loving, caring. God is speaking to us about this very clearly at intercession. I'm very excited. So here's the thing. You want to get rid of an orphan spirit? You want to get rid of that critical spirit? You want to feel like you belong? You have to move your heart to be a son. Don't look for someone. Don't go out there and look for the solution out there. It's in here. It's in here. Amen? I want to challenge each and every one of you. Because some of you here are going to do amazing. In fact, everyone that's willing, you're going to be fathers. I'm using the word sons. It's sons and daughters. It's not gender specific. It's speaking about heirs, erfgename. Okay? Talking about fathers. You do it as a woman as well. All right? Prepare yourself right now by becoming a son. Open your heart. Experience the perfect God through the imperfect pastor or the imperfect small group leader. You know how many people jump from church to church to church and never stop, especially in Cape Town? The problem is sonship. It's not so much in our town, but in Cape Town it's very fashionable. As soon as the relationship gets real, whoop, I'm out of here. Because we're orphans. So ons hartloop van kinderhuis na kinderhuis. When God is calling us to be sons. But now, can we just go to that first piece in Romans, please? If you want to be a part of God's family, I just want to tell you the whole truth. Verse 17. And if children, we heirs, erfgename, okay, heaven, we inheriting heaven, all right? Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. Let me tell you something about the heaven family. It's just like the earthly family. Yesterday, Hendrik's dad passed away. You think that's nice for that family? Most terrible thing. They're going to suffer together. But if they suffer together, something will happen in that family. Someone, somewhere along the line, told people at a young age that when God is there, nothing bad happens. Biggest lie, you will suffer in your godly family. There will be difficult times. There will be many great times. Develop the heart of a son. And you will be ready for whatever comes your way. And so when Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ, he's talking about suffering. Go and read it. He says, I have learned to have everything. I've learned to have nothing. Sometimes I've got food to eat. Sometimes I've got nothing. But let me tell you something. I can do all things through Christ. I'm a son. I'm in this family. I don't care what comes my way. I want to stand. Do you sometimes feel you're going from committed to uncommitted? One sin to another. Become a son. Become a son. Amen. Let's stand up tonight.